You will not be disappointed. It's the news, according to me. Well, it's Monday. Monday morning, July 28th, 7:26 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am in the Eastern Standard Time time zone this morning. That's where I'm at. Good morning. It is 2025, by the way, just in case you didn't know the year. In case you can figure that out, just in case this is going out into the ethosphere, and you never know when somebody might pick this up and listen to it. So I've got to put the date on there. So I could also have to say I'm not a doctor or a lawyer or a financial counselor. So anything I share with you is just my opinion. What you do with my opinion is that's on you. I don't take any responsibility for that. I don't take any responsibility for stuff I do, let alone the stuff you do. So I have. In my cup here, I have my chai, Big Train chai, slight mix of Pacific Island chai. Creamy. It's creamy chai. It's not a spicy chai. And I have, as my backup cup, I have the last, there's still a little bit left. But the last cup I will drink of that batch, because I'll be leaving today, this morning, of peach tea, homemade sweet peach tea. I had some peaches yesterday. Somebody brought some fresh peaches in. Of course, when you slice up peaches and mix them with sugar, just about any peach tastes good at that point. But that's what they did. There's good peaches. Could have made good sweet tea with them. But I went to a reunion over the weekend, and my brother-in-law, we had a little service worship thing yesterday morning, and. He spoke. It wasn't a sermon, but he spoke. One of the things he said, and it just kind of a good point here. It's just, as we grow up and I've heard this from people so many times. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say this kind of stuff. Well, I hope I get to do this or that before I die, or I get to do this or that before Jesus comes back or takes me for the rapture, whatever it is they say. It's like, I just want to get my, I want to have a buggy, and I want to have this, and I want to do that, or I want to have a buggy, as in, a dune buggy, or an RV, or a boat, whatever it is. I want to be able to see Alaska before I die. One of those, what? Yeah. That seems, the first time I heard somebody say it, I was like, really? What? I mean, don't get me wrong. Life is precious, and this life is a beautiful reflection of what God has created. Don't get me wrong here at all. It's a reflection of who He is. It's who, however, so you think it's just going to be some kind of boring hymns? I've never heard other people say this. They're just going to sit around singing hymns all day long. I don't think so. I don't think that's what that's. But I think you got a little bit misconception of. Well, now we're just floating around these little these little mystical little partial spirits floating around in the sky. That's heaven. I think heaven's going to be better than it is here. More to discover, more to learn every day. Continuous learning about the vastness of God. Never-ending revelation of who He is. Never-ending. Your little brain can't wrap around that. Is not even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for His saints. One of the statements that my brother-in-law made was, "You're not going to be disappointed." When we have this concept, I think that he called it the Sunday school mentality of what people kind of imagine heaven's going to be. These little angel babies flapping around, it's going to be just hymns, singing hymns all day long, or singing worship songs all day long. That's all it's going to be. Don't get me wrong. There'll be some of the most fantastic music in heaven you'll ever heard, I'm sure. But it's not going to be boring. And you will not be disappointed. You will not even be bored. You will not be, I would say you'll be overwhelmed. Better than anything you could see on this planet. Better than a million sunsets. Better than, than the mountainous grandeur of the mountains all together at one time. All the time. I don't think there's any way to describe it. Just what being in the presence of God is going to be like. It was a good point I think he made. It's worth repeating. That's why I'm repeating it. That's what you do. When something's worth repeating, you repeat it. When something's worth repeating, you repeat it. I don't know if you got that or not. We have a few things to talk about today. It's Mishmash Monday. So Monday is kind of the day I unload. For those of you who have never heard the show, it's the day I kind of just unload on lots of things. I kind of talk about whatever. And it kind of goes everywhere. I have, and for those of you who have heard the show, you're saying to yourself right now, how is that different than any other show? Is it just, got me. You got me on that one. Some interesting things have been happening. This whole Epstein thing, and I think there's been some people who've done some independent investigation, and they have more information. Well, more information that's publicly available than what the FBI will even divulge. And in fact, they're discovering a lot of things about this whole case that has the FBI in complicit, very suspicious. Let's just say some very suspicious activity going on with the FBI initially in this case, especially the issue with the, was it Manhattan, where he had one of the largest houses there that they raided initially. Just very, very strange things that the FBI has done that don't add up. They are either absolute incompetent boobs or they are intentionally doing this. And I can't believe, I guess I can believe the first part. Let's just say they're really not doing a very good job. Let's just say it that way. They're fully capable of doing a very good job, I'm sure. But then in this case, they are not so much. And it's got a very, very very disturbing. And I think the reason it matters, people want to know, and for some reason we all want to know this. We don't necessarily need to know the salacious details. We just need to know. And it's not the Epstein files we're concerned about. Who's on the Epstein files? No, it's who's the clients? Who are the clients? That's what they want to know. Whether or not Donald Trump is listed as a person who ever spoke to or talked, obviously he did. Now, the left is trying to make this out to be, now he's trying to cover it up because he knows there's something in there. Well, it is, and I have to say, I'm not going to stick up for the guy. It seems strange that he would come out and say, are we still talking about Epstein? Jeffrey Epstein? This creep? We got all this going on, and you guys still want to talk about Jeffrey Epstein? Yeah. For the last 6 years, we've been talking about Jeffrey Epstein, and you were someone on the campaign trail who said you were going to get to the bottom of this because you saw that it was important to the American people. We want to see justice for the people who did some very bad things to some very young people. So what really pains me is that, saying something that there are people saying, you used to watch what you say now online because they'll censor you. The algorithms will change on your whatever. So people are bowing to the algorithm God. Now, I don't necessarily attain to that. I'm trying to be as respectful as possible. So the why is he all of a sudden kind of changed on this whole thing? Now it's, now of course at the same time, now there's this whole thing of, you know, Glenn Maxwell, she's, and I, it's not Ghislaine, it's not good, but it's Ghislaine, whatever the, everybody's calling her, all kinds of, they don't know how to pronounce her name. Just go back and listen to how she pronounces her name. That's just what's all you have, that's all I'm going to say. And this whole thing, now she's been interviewed, she's supposedly given up names, and of course both sides are saying, well, can she be trusted as a witness? I don't know if she can be trusted as a witness or not. So there's that. Of course, then you have to wonder, well, what are you afraid she's going to say? What do you think your name's going to be on there? What do you worry about there? What's the big deal? And I think that is, you know, everybody's trying to give themselves an out. Well, I don't know. She might not be a very credible witness. In other words, if she says something I don't like, I'm not going to believe it. That's what that means. Now, supposedly she's claiming, she's saying all these things, and now they're going to use this as a means to get a pardon of some kind. I don't think she should ever be pardoned. I don't think she got enough of a sentence to begin with. She knowingly and willingly was the manipulative little bait girl behind all getting all these people in the door, trapping all these kids. Epstein might have been the kingpin, the one who was managing the whole thing and funding it. She by the way, she came from a very wealthy family as well. She knew what she was doing. I think a pardon was the last thing that anybody wants Trump to do. I mean, he didn't run on that. So anyway, we have, well, there's that. Let's see what else is going on. Big deal with the European Union now. I guess it's been struck. After the news media was telling us, oh, you know, Trump's, all the stuff's going on and Trump's going off to play golf in Scotland or whatever. By the way, there is I think he owns a golf course there. He's off playing golf. Well, then he comes to find out, oh, yeah, we came over here. We know we were already over here. We decided just to have the meeting here. And with the UN, or the, not the UN, the UK, the European Union, whatever you want to call it. And they made this deal. It was kind of a tariff deal, something about 15%. I don't know what the details are. All I know is Trump's really happy about it, supposedly. And the news media is flipping out because all of a sudden they got this accomplished. And of course, now this is going to just cause the stock market to do that much more. Because there's just that much more confidence in everything. This is on the heels of just getting the Japanese deal done and everything else. So these deals are all falling into place now. Of course, everybody wants to jump in because they all want to be part of it. They want a place at the table. And they don't want to be the last man out. Of course, now who's going to be the last man out? It's going to be China. I mean, the last big player is going to be China. So it'll be interesting to see how all this works out with regard to all that stuff. Yeah. I have I have to get, well, let's just talk about this first. I guess get this stuff off the plate. Some administrative things, you know, because you people need to know what's happening here with the news, according to me. I have tomorrow morning, the show, as far as I know, is going to be from, it's going to be taking place in Fayetteville, Arkansas. It's, there was recently a major accident there. Weird accident happened there. I believe it was Saturday night. It might have been Friday night. It was over the weekend sometime. This car was being chased by police, slid off. Apparently, it was doing about 100 miles an hour because it went through the parking lot, crashing across several parking berms and that kind of thing, and through, little sliding sideways, tires coming off, sparks flying, for at least a football field length, and then crashing into the front, the very front door of a church. It's interesting how this kind of stuff happens. There was a deal where there was a Methodist church here in my hometown here, the big town, what we call the big town, the seat of the county here. It was the big town that everybody from the south part of the county went to. Apparently, the guy was going over a bridge, came down over the top of the bridge. At the bottom of the bridge, there was a curve. This guy was drunk. Didn't maneuver the curve very well. Ended up crashing into a church. It was at night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody was at church because they weren't having an all-night prayer meeting or anything. And he crashed into the church and ended up on the, he got thrown from the car, I understand, and ended up on the front of where the altar area is. Now, I don't know how that affects a person. He lived, by the way. I don't know how that affects a person in terms of the way they, live the rest of their life. But maybe you want to take a step back from that and just say, hey, is God trying to tell me something here? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I'll leave that up to you. We have many other things happening in the news cycle, the spin machine, the spin cycle of the news. CNN apparently had a person on the other day who was claiming to be a doctor. They're talking about, now they're talking about Trump's swollen ankles. The guy's 80, what is he, 82, whatever he is, 81. What? Swollen ankles. Oh, look, he's dying. The swollen ankles. The guy's got other issues. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it here. I'm one of those guys who notices speech patterns. Something I notice. People's speech is you wouldn't know it by the way I'm talking this morning. I'm typing something to my wife here. We have. Oh, why did that do that? Anyway, I do a lot of voiceover work, so it's one of those, in a world, that kind of, this week on LA's Finest, only on Spectrum and only on demand. I do that kind of stuff. Or the, stuff for advertising, whatever it is, explainer videos. Some of it's not the movie trailer type voice because, it's just more of the explainer video, whatever it is. It's a guy next door kind of sound. Mike Rowe, Tim Allen, kind of that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, I had, when I ended up, listening to more and more to Trump, I was listening to some of the stuff how he was talking at the beginning of his campaign, especially back in 2016, that his first term, and the way he talks now. Now, he is older. People tend to get a little bit less articulate as they get older. Their speech, it takes effort after a while to get your muscles to maintain a certain cognitive. It's not really cognitive. It's more, I don't know what the term is for. I'm not a doctor. Like I said, did I mention I'm not a doctor or a lawyer? I think I did. And so you need to remember that. Just write that down somewhere. I do know chai, though. I have, so this is the kind of stuff that I notice. And he definitely has a different speech pattern. It's a different articulation with his pronunciation of certain words, that kind of thing. And it's all of this has happened since he got shot. And I don't know if he had a reaction to steroids. I'm sure that they tried to do some things. There had to be some muscle damage, some issues. You get ear shot off. It's quite a traumatic thing for your face and your nerves and everything else that happened during that time. I mean, it was a whole lot of stress going on there. It has a huge effect on your body. Maybe he might have had a very light Bell's palsy effect type thing happen to him. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but I do know that his speech is very different than it was even just 2 years ago. So having said that, that doesn't mean he's mentally incompetent and he's not fit to lead. Even though that's what they would have you to believe, because after all, now they've all come around. They're all excused now because now they're questioning, let's say, we didn't know about Joe Biden's. What happened there? The administration covered it up. We didn't know that Joe was having cognitive issues. How could we have known? Well, because you were the ones who were saying that everybody who said he was were conspiracy theorists and you were basically calling them liars. That's how we know that you knew, that you should have known, because we were telling you. You just didn't want it. You were covering it up. And they're still covering up. They're still saying, he would have been today. He would have been a fine president. He would have been a better president than Donald Trump is. Still saying that. Of course, the whole thing with Kamala. She came out and did a speech at some kind of, it was terrible. It was this some kind of weird of fundraiser event or something for the DNC or for the Democrat party, some kind of Democrat party fundraiser. And it's, folks, these people are going off the deep end. Their approval rating now is, I don't know what they mean by this one. It's negative 31% deficit is what they have, right? Negative 31%. I don't know what that means. The Republicans apparently are negative 10%. So there's 20% difference. I don't know what that means. Negative. There's now they're not measuring how people feel, anybody who feels good about them, because that's too low. I feel about 2% of the country feels good about the Republican Party and 1% of the Democrat Party. I don't know. What was it? Because they have to measure the negative. I don't like the Democrats. I don't like the Republicans. So that we're gonna go by who doesn't like, who you don't like the most or whatever. Because nobody likes them. So we have to go by the who you don't like the most. It's like you have a choice between not good and even worse. Or just that's kind of what I'm thinking. Here's what we're doing now. That's the scale we're measuring things on. And yet the Democrat Party comes out and acts like, we got it all together. We're all good. We're ready for the midterms. We're all poised. Now, keep in mind, they think all it's going to require is for them to get Trump underwater in the polls, and then they can impeach him because it'll be palatable for the American people to be impeached. That's all they care about. They just have to know that the public's behind it. This is all a popularity game. It's all political theater. It is all just their average, everyday playing the public and doing what they can politically get away with. They don't care about what the country really wants or where the country really is. They want to play their little narrative, try to get the public opinion on their side so they can accomplish their little goal. And their main goal is not just to get rid of Trump, it's to take back power. That's what they really want. It's all about power. It's this lust for power and control and greed and money and everything else. And of course, money, these are people who are, in my opinion, have more of a lust for power than they do for money. But money is power in Washington. That's what they all know that. So that's why they pour themselves out, trying to keep their stronghold on power. So anyway, I think I was talking about where I'm going to be. Tonight, I should be getting into Fayetteville, Arkansas, fairly late tonight. And then the next day, I think on Wednesday. Wednesday, I will be in Bakersfield, California. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to have a show or not on Thursday morning. It's going to be kind of a weird time of day. I probably will be able to get up. Actually, even Bakersfield might be a little bit tough because it's a fairly early departure out of there for me. But however, it's, you know, they're 3 hours behind me here. So I might be able to squeeze in a little show in Bakersfield before I depart from there. Now, I will be in El Paso, Texas, bringing you a report from there. What I might do is do a show on Wednesday night rather than Thursday. So that's probably what's going to happen there. Now, Friday morning, I don't know where I'm going to be. I do have to go to somewhere. I don't remember where I'm going even. I can't remember. I might be on the boat that morning. I'm not sure where I'm going to be for sure. That I do have to leave the house pretty early that morning. I've got a fairly early departure out of Chicago that morning. I get done, get back home. I don't know if I'm going to be staying in Chicago or staying on the boat or whatever. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. All depends on what the weather's doing, I guess. But we finally got all of our cars working now. It's a whole other issue. But we had a car that broke down in Ohio. Finally got to pick that up. It's all fixed up now. So I got my regular car back, and that was a lot more comfortable to drive. Get that car going, got the other car is my wife's, basically. The one was broke down in Ohio, and then we got, but I still got this problem with my motorhome. I don't know what's going on with that. But put a new turbocharger in it, which I thought fixed the problem, but it's still shifting funny, which that's part of the problem. I think it's two separate issues. Maybe it's just all one issue that's wrapped up in one. The thing will drive along, you can drive along 65 miles an hour, and all of a sudden it just like took a foot off the gas off, you know, foot off the pedal. It just slows down. And it acts like there's just literally like it took a foot off the pedal. I'm not sure what that's all about. And then it'll go down about 50 miles an hour, sometimes 40, 45. And it speeds back up again. Gets up to about 60, 65, gets to a certain speed, boom, slows back down again. And then it gradually starts working way back up again, and it slows back down again. Now, after I shut it off and turn it back on again, if I shut it off and let it sit for a little while, turn it back on again, I can run it for about 25, 30 minutes usually. Seems like it runs fine. And then it starts, you know, doing this thing, especially running down the highway at steady state speeds or trying to go up a hill. It'll just start kicking back, slow down like crazy. I've changed the fuel filter. I've checked in the fuel system. I just don't know what's going on with it. So I may have to take it someplace to a specialist, have them look at it. The specialist. All right, so that's kind of what's happening with the world. It seems like there were some other things happening as well that are in the news right now. Let's just check the news feed and see what's happening this morning with the news. It's interesting to see what we got going on here. Oh, well. My internet's really, really, really slow right now, so I'm just going to ignore that. In the meantime, folks, some other things that are kind of brewing, the Barack Obama, of course, now Clapper has lawyered up. I believe Comey. Of course, he's going to lawyer up. He's got lawyers all the time. But Brennan and Clapper, in my opinion, are probably the two fall guys that are going to go down the hardest on most of this stuff. Of course, they're going to have plausible deniability. They're going to have all kinds of issues. Whether there's going to be charges brought or not, I don't know. Now, I don't personally, the way I see it is, I don't think that Obama can get out. I don't think that Trump actually. The case he won with the Supreme Court is not the same as what Obama's doing here. Did Obama act within his official duties? And there's a couple of caveats that I think are worth talking about this whole thing. You know, I shared the details about what happened, basically, that this whole intelligence report that Barack Obama knew was coming down the pike, that basically was going to say that there wasn't, he got a pre-report. That's what happened. He knew that this report that was coming in for his briefing was going to say that there wasn't any collusion with Russia. No, Russia didn't have any effect on the election. But that was the narrative they had to have. So he basically backed it up and said, what I want to hear from you is I want to hear how the Russians affected the election or influenced the election or sought to influence it. I don't want to hear whether they did or didn't. I want to hear you tell me how they did. And that's in a nutshell, that's kind of how he put it. So then they had to bring what they call a product. It's an intelligence product. And when you talk about a product, to me, it's weird to me to hear them say something about, well, that's one of the most scrutinized products we've ever, that the Clapper was saying, that's one of the most scrutinized products we've ever put out. Product means you produce something. It's a production. You've produced this document. You've produced this report. To me, it has some kind of slimy thing I don't know. It just seems to me like it's been manufactured. It's synthetic. I don't know. That's just the way it seems to me. And the reason that Obama didn't want that to be in his briefing during this time, have to keep in mind, this is after the election. This is during a time, I think it's within so many days after the election. I think it's eight days or 7 days after the election that the incoming president starts to get presidential briefings. They ease him into this whole process. He starts to get all the briefings. He starts to get the orientation. He starts to get everything established and ready for him to be, to step into office day one. He can start doing his job and just everything he's doing. So I think that's probably an important point in all this is that it was during this time that Barack Obama knew that if that came out in an intelligence report, in a presidential briefing, that Trump was going to get the same brief. He was very fully aware, that Donald Trump was going to see that briefing. He could not have that briefing come out in a presidential briefing. He had to keep that silent. This is, again, an intentional obstruction of intelligence information, not just changing the intelligence. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's not part of the president's job to weaponize the intelligence agencies to create a, as it were, a deceptive manipulation of the facts. It's not part of his, he's acting within his power to do so. He can direct these people to do so. But in my opinion, everybody who went along with this order was breaking their oath. And of course, they all talk about their oath to the Constitution. Subverting the Constitution. These people were subverting the Constitution and breaking their oath to the Constitution, in my opinion, by rolling over to someone who was asking them to subvert information for their own, for their own gain, not for the sake of the country, for political gain. And that's, in my opinion, that's now he's acting as a DNC officer, not acting as a presidential representative. And what they went after Trump for was something very different. He was acting within his powers as a president, tried to impeach him. They did. The House did voted to impeach him, but they could have indicted him over chewing on a toothpick on the wrong side of his mouth, and they would have. The Democrats would have voted to impeach the guy. So yeah, this whole thing, and of course now they're still vilifying everybody who voted for Trump and saying, lot of different things. It's been some interesting memes coming out lately. What's happening with all that? But, yeah. So that's what we have to look forward to this week. I unfortunately have I don't have that a whole lot of time today. So I just this morning, I've got to just kind of got to keep things rolling. It looks like it could rain out there, but I've got to get the dogs kind of exercised and walked a little bit before I head out the door and take off for all points, all over the place. Should be an interesting week ahead of us, I think, in my opinion. But you will not be disappointed. But, want to throw that back out there again. We have, what else going on? That's all I can think of. That's all I can think of right now. Call the show. Let me know what you think about what I think. 812-379-8778. Just share your thoughts. Text or call the show. Either one. Leave a message. Folks, God bless. Have a great, wonderful week. Take care. I will talk to you, hopefully, tomorrow morning. See ya.